Welcome to the Kick Pod, your weekly DNM on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, Lawsy.
Hello. Welcome to the last episode of the season. Not that we have large breaks, but there is one coming up. Which also reason, to be timed with you having a baby. So
yeah, I'm not sure how well. Obviously the baby can come at any time. So we might come back from our break and might just be Lawsy here. We'll see. We'll keep you guys in the loop. But
no, I will be in the hospital putting the mic in your face being like, I know you're in labour, but we need to kick bond. No.
But yes, we are at the end of the first season of this year. I can't believe it's already April. Like,
I know.
That's actually insane. Easter. Like, how is it Easter already?
It is the fourth month. That is the way it goes. I have something funny to tell you. Mm. So did you notice anything looking at me right now?
That you have earrings on?
No. I always wear earrings.
No, but they're like dangly. That's than your usual.
No. Thank you for noticing though, but no. No.
Oh my God. What have I not noticed?
What do you have not noticed is I discovered a new eyebrow product.
No.
What I want to say is I really like it.
Okay.
But today I have not used it properly.
Oh.
Because.
Now I'm staring at your eyebrows.
One is filled a lot more than the other. One looks like I've had like an eyebrow filling appointment in my own bathroom. No, like eyebrow tinting.
Why didn't you do both?
I thought I did. Oh. But obviously the stain came on one of them.
Oh, so it's like, is it like a tinted brush or something?
It is. I don't really know what it is. Okay. It was called Brows for 48 hours or something. And I was like, wow, I was in Chemist Warehouse waiting for my asthma. Every month I have to get my new Preventer and you have to wait 15 minutes in Chemist Warehouse,
every time
obviously.
You buy some miscellaneous.
I think that's the point of their business model, that you walk around all the aisles and you end up with 48 things when all you needed was one. Anyway, so I saw these 48 hour. I can't even tell you the brand. I should have. Okay. I'll post it on my story. But I was like, oh, I think it was, it's was cheap. It was about, I think, $13 or something. And I was like, I'll just give it a go. Anyway, I went to try it and I was like, oh goodness, am I going to stain my eyebrows forever? But then I put it in. It's like this little gel thing. You put it in your eyebrows and then it's got two types of brushes. You just brush it through. You're good to go. Definitely doesn't last 48 hours. Like, it's just for the day because I wash it off. I'm not sure if I'm meant to leave it or anything.
Yeah, right.
But I love it. But today I didn't do a good job.
Oh. I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing.
That was a lot. Like,
do I tell you it looks good because you've admitted that you didn't do a good job? I didn't.
How about the one eyebrow that's small? I think it's the right one.
Well, it looks, now that I'm staring at your eyebrows, it looks like your right eyebrow is brushed up more, but your left eyebrow is darker.
Oh, okay. So I need to work on my brushing and my filling. But yes, anyway, I really recommend this product if you use it properly. But I'll post this thing on my story.
Is that a special share?
No, it's not my special share. It's just a random thing I wanted to share with y'all. No. Okay. My special share, though, is one of our brand new Pilates classes. We have just done a new drop of Pilates masterclasses in the Kick app, which is so exciting. They're such good ones.
Yeah.
And my favorite is the whole body burner with Mari. Mm. Pilates and me have a love-hate relationship.
I've gotten into it lately.
Yes, because it is very good for you. Yes. It is obviously low
good
impact. Yes, especially for me because I run so much and I do so much heat, which is very high impact. It's so nice to have something that's low impact and really good for strengthening muscles, and it's that feeling of burn, which I strongly dislike. I really like to do a minute of jump squats. Mm-hmm. I do not like to do a minute of like those weird pulses where your leg's up. I think it's called fire hydrant or something. But that's what they get you to do in Pilates. And the only time I do it is when I do a kick masterclass because obviously our trainers, and sometimes we're there too, but even if it's just the trainers, are there, Mari or Christina, and they are talking you through the whole session, so you don't give up because you're like, oh, I'm here with them. I'm not giving up. Anyway, so that is my special share.
Wait, what was it called again? The full body one?
Whole body burner.
Great.
Not full. Whole.
Well, I'm assuming by whole body burner, there's probably a lot of core in there, so maybe I'll wait till I pop this baby out until I give that one a go. But yeah, it's so exciting. We hope you guys are loving all the new Pilates workouts. My special share this week is actually something.
I think I saw this open on your phone before and I was like, love it.
Yeah, I shared this on my stories probably 2 weeks ago now by the time this podcast comes out, and it was shared to me by someone else who I think just thought I'd really appreciate it. And I really appreciate them for sending it to me because I really, really liked it.
A follower?
Yeah,
a follower. Yeah, lovely. That's lovely.
And I think it actually, it's really good lead into to this podcast as well that we've got today with Abby. But anyway, I'll just get to it. So this woman, I don't follow her, but she has a blue tick. So I assume she's got a profile of some sort.
So you just like one of her posts. Like, no. Says like, I like this quote, but not the rest of her content. Not enough to warrant a follow.
Her name is Jessica, I think. But I'm gonna put her actual, when perfect. I, yeah, in the show
I
notes, I'll make sure it's all written out.
When you shared this, I probably started following her.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So this is what she wrote. And I just thought it was so perfect for Instagram. And like, anyway, I'll just get into it. Think of someone's Instagram page like it's their home. If it's public, you have been invited to visit them there. How exciting. You might not like how they've decorated everything. That wall color maybe is a bit too bold, or you hate having to remove your shoes at the front door, but you still want to be respectful because you're in someone else's house who does things differently than you. If you don't like it there, the rules are too strange for you, or the smell is just weird because for some reason you hate incense, you can always leave. You don't have to kick the door on the way out or take a shit in the toilet without flushing or knock their photos to the floor while yelling that their niece is ugly. You can just quietly exit and head to someone else's house that feels more comfortable for you. It's really as simple as that. And I just thought that was such a good way of explaining Instagram. Like, I feel like too often the trolling that I get, I always find that they follow me and I'm like, if you have such a problem with the stuff that I'm posting or, you know, any content I'm putting out there, just unfollow me. I don't get it. I mean, like, unless you have an extremely strong kind of political stance on something and you truly believe someone needs to be DM'd to try and educate them on something, like,
yeah, if they're being harmful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, when it's just you disagree with someone or you just don't like something, like there's plenty of stuff I see online that I don't like. I'll either unfollow the person or just won't like that photo or like won't like that thing or just, you know, whatever. Maybe, you know, it's just, it's a choice that you have. And to think that some people choose to still troll is just baffling to me. Anyway, and I really loved that post and I thought that was like such a good way of thinking about it. It is someone else's house in a way. It's not there to please everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it's your, I think the biggest thing I got out of that is we choose who we follow.
Yeah.
So if you don't like me or you or someone else, just don't follow them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Don't go to their house.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, it is funny. Sometimes I get that too. Someone will be like, oh my God, you just talk way too much and I don't like your face. And it's like, that's not constructive for anyone. And please don't follow me if you don't like my face.
Yeah.
I'm not here.
Yeah.
For my face to be liked by you.
And then even if they don't follow you, as this kind of said, like you don't need to knock frames down on your way out. Like even if they don't follow you, they've just come across their page.
Yes.
The fact that they still feel the need to actually message you and say, I just passed by.
Yeah.
I really don't like the way you decorated things here. Yeah. Just thought I'd let you know. See ya. Like
what? A nice reminder of kindness.
Yes, it is.
Love it.
Mm. So. Today's D&M.
Yeah.
D&M. All right, it's the last D&M of the first season.
I think it's of the year. I was like, yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
We're definitely going to continue.
Pending baby arrival.
Okay.
Oh, my God, when we come back, you'll probably be a mum.
Yeah, well.
You'll have a child.
I hope I will
you
be.
Will be responsible for a human being. That is so exciting. Anyway, right. Sorry, D&M.
That's okay. Okay. I am about to turn 25 and I've been dating my boyfriend for nearly 7 years. My only boyfriend ever. We have been through a lot and always managed to keep strong and move forwards. These past 2 years have been long distance. I was in London and he lived in Madrid, Spain. It was fine for a bit, but as time passed, we knew we needed to know a date by which we would be living in the same city. When COVID came, this only grew as it wasn't easy for me or him to fly for a weekend. Luckily, he has found a job in London. I cannot believe we will finally be together. We have decided to move in together, which only feels right. He's also my best friend, so the best flatmate I could ever ask for. As an anxious person, though, I am in my mind super scared navigating all the negative what-ifs. Sometimes even doubting myself on whether I'm playing to be an adult moving in with my boyfriend, which makes no sense because 25 and 27 is not a kid age to make this move. Do you have any tips when you started living with your boyfriends? Any others now that it's been longer? Is it scary and exciting? So many questions. Need my sister that I don't have. Thank you both so much.
Oh,
we can be those sisters.
That's really nice. And that is such a good question. Mm. I think it is one of the scariest things ever to move in with a partner when you haven't before.
Mm.
And I'm trying to think back at what. What are your thoughts
about when I moved
out? Well, I recollect my.
Well, okay. Also, so I moved in with Josh. We had both travelled, and mm-hmm. I was living overseas by myself. And he had travelled the world. And so by the time we both got home, I was 21 and, yeah, he was 24. And we were both just at that stage where I think after all that travel and, like, staying out of home, especially me because I was living on my own in New York, going back to living with the family and then spending half the week at his house, I was like, okay, I need my own space. This is crazy. So we moved out probably only 4 months after we both got back.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to rent first. We both had, you know, really luckily like saved up a lot and really wanted to invest in our own property and all this sort of stuff, but we were like, we have no idea how we're going to go living with each other, let alone living out of home. And so we moved out, and we moved out with one of our best friends and rented a property for just over a year together. And I remember it was so exciting because for me, I was like, I was always staying at his house more so than him staying at mine. And I was so sick of keeping my clothes in the car.
Oh, yes, living out of the car, yes.
Like, oh, my God. I mean, it's not like my car is very clean nowadays, but it was like a whole wardrobe in the back there for a while. And also having to think forward about, like, what am I going to have for breakfast before I drive to work the next morning, or, like, you know. And that was actually also at the time where I was really trying to be quite, not too strict on my food, but I was still going through that motion of coming out of, you know, my eating habits and everything and being really strict on myself. So I was like questioning, you know, what's Josh's mum going to make for dinner? Like, maybe I should stay home and make my own dinner first and all that sort of stuff. So I was just so excited to have our own space and like experience that together. And moving out, I think, with our friend was also a really great way to kind of warm into it a little bit because we had him there to kind of just have fun in a bit of a share house. But it was, I remember going from seeing each other 4 days a week to every day and like every night, it is a really big step. And then for you guys, obviously, you guys have been doing distance. So it really will be a bit of a shock. And there is things that you do learn about them that you really didn't ever knew existed. Maybe it's like a habit they have, how long they take to get into the bed, or like how long their showers are, or like do they pick up after themselves? Do they go to the supermarket? All these things you will find out. And it took a while for us to kind of figure each other out and to not get too frustrated. That's not to say that we don't get frustrated with each other now after living together for like 8 years, but it's, you just learn to accept things about each other, but it is a bit of a phase. And I do remember especially going from kind of having that year of distance where he was traveling and I was living by myself to then living together. I personally was so used to my own space, my own personal space. And Josh is such an affectionate person. He just like always needs to be around others. And that was probably the biggest challenge for me, was getting used to living with someone that was like that. And I was like, whoa, I can't just like go to my own bedroom now like I could at my family house when Mum wanted to chat, because it's his bedroom too. So it's kind of fun. But I can understand why you have so many what ifs, because I've also had friends who have moved in with their partners and they've learned a lot of things that they don't necessarily like. So there is definitely always going to be what ifs. But it sounds like you guys have a really beautiful and romantic relationship, and it's so exciting. No matter what happens from here, it is such a fun time.
Yeah, agree. And you've been together for so long, so don't worry about it. I'm trying to think back. I think the one thing I would say that helps Dalton and I is to communicate. So things like cleaning the toilet properly.
Yeah.
Cleaning the toilet
properly. I'm getting
this
the
is still
idea
a pain point for
still
us.
Doesn't.
It doesn't. However, so first I started yelling very loud. And then I realized that's not how he responds.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't respond to that. Also, it shouldn't be my responsibility anyway to teach him, but unfortunately this happened. And so I actually, like with things like that, or if he just leaves his stuff, and I do stuff too that annoys him.
Yeah, yeah.
So we sat down and we were like, okay, this is not a big deal for you, but for me, it's very frustrating. Yeah. And I tried to like use an example of, if I did this to you, you would be really frustrated. That's how I feel when you do this. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So just communicate, because often there's little things that can
annoy you about the other one. Yeah. And they might not even realize, and it might be a really easy fix, but it is a very good way to really get to know someone. But you already know your partner. You'll be fine. Don't stress. It'll be fun.
That's the biggest thing. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think you'll grow a lot in your relationship from it. So be excited.
Yeah.
100%. Don't be nervous about it.
Don't be nervous.
We're very excited for you.
Alrighty. And now for this week's chat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have got the very wonderful Abby Chatfield on the podcast today. We chatted about quite a few things.
Yeah.
We chatted about feminism, trolling, confidence, mental health.
Yeah. And she, honestly, we probably could have chatted for like another 2 hours.
We really could have.
So easy to chat to. If you guys aren't sure of who Abby is, she's been on a number of reality TV shows, you know, like The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, and she actually just won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
She sure did.
And she's, but really, give her a follow or at least check out her account because she's so great. She's so, you know, no bullshit, no filter, truly herself, loud and proud. And I love seeing people like that on Instagram. So I personally love following her, but also she has an incredible podcast and her chats are always so engaging and so fun to listen to. So we hope you guys enjoy this chat with Abby.
Well, welcome back to the Kick Pod. Abby, how are you?
Oh, good girls. I feel like I haven't seen your faces in so long, except for on Instagram, of course. But how are you going?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We miss you, though. I feel like I've got so many friends up in Sydney in different states and stuff, but I haven't seen so long.
I know. I need to get down to Melbourne once everything's kind of normal and try and see. Although by the time I get down, you'll have a baby. So it's like I can't be like the first person to meet the baby. Like walking in, everyone's like, why the fuck is Abby Chatfield meeting your baby before me? No.
Wait, probably I'm having a brain freeze. Have we met in real life?
No.
No. I was like, when Steph said I missed you, haven't seen you for so long. So I was like, yeah, haven't seen you ever.
No, but isn't it weird? God. It's like with I met Tully Smythe
every day. Yes, I saw that.
And we have Tully is like, I would say one of my close friends. Like I call her when I'm upset. Like I FaceTime her sobbing. And then when we met, we were like, this is so weird that we haven't ever met. Because I call you when I have like mental breakdowns. Like I FaceTime her Tully. So it's weird. I have so many friends. A lot of them like that are like, you know, through like influencing and like, but they're in Melbourne because a lot of you guys are in Melbourne and it's like, I haven't been able to just pop down and see you or if I haven't just been in Melbourne and be like, oh, we should get a drink. So hopefully soon. I mean, I'm now in lockdown in Sydney because I was in Brisbane.
Of course. Yeah, right.
So that's why when you were like, does 9:30 suit you? I was like, yes. Anytime suits me doing nothing. I can go get a coffee. That's it.
Well, we've got to say, Abs, we've loved seeing everything that you're getting up to. It's just incredible. And you've always been really comfortable, obviously, being yourself and speaking your truth and everything like that. But it's just really cool to see that, I suppose, that confidence growing in you and that's getting stronger and stronger. And I just love watching your stories because there's just no bullshit, basically. It's like no filter. It's the best. And it's super refreshing to see. So we're hoping we know our community would love that sort of transparency as well. And we're going to have a chat today over a few important topics that we know are really important to you as well because you often speak quite openly about them. And we thought we'd start off with feminism.
Yes.
Because we just, I love your stance on feminism, but what does it mean to you?
I mean, I get asked this question a lot and I get really like anxious about answering it because it's such a big, broad topic, obviously, and I get very scared I'm not going to encapsulate everything. But I think feminism for me is not only, I think when I was younger, it used to be, you know, women being able to do whatever they want and, you know, having autonomy and that still is a strong foundation of it. But I think more so it's now focusing on lifting up all women and particularly including intersections in that. In that narrative, so you know, including LGBTQIA+ community, which I guess I'm a part of, I guess, and as well, you know, people of color, which were never ignored in my definition of who should be included, but I guess my definition has probably changed over the past 2 years in my education and in my reading and listening to podcasts and listening to people, you know, calling me out when I've messed up. So I feel like it's just about, obviously, the most standard, boring definition, equality for all, But it's actually empowering those minority groups and those groups that have been oppressed. And that does include women. But I think right now I'm trying to focus more on educating myself around issues regarding people of colour and LGBTQIA plus community, just because I feel like I maybe have not been as vigilant as I should be. So that's kind of where I am right now. I feel like it always changes. So that's why I like that question, because it makes me reevaluate how I see feminism. But, you know, it's always going to be, you know, the foundation for me of having autonomy as women. If that was like a very long answer, that was a very long answer.
I think it was good. And I think, yeah, you're right. It does always change. I suppose with everything in life, the more we learn, the more we know, and then things change, and that's okay. And we wanted to chat to you about the, and I know you've spoken about this so much, but we really, really wanted to touch on it with you. Holding people accountable when they are being sexist or, you know, they're not doing the right thing. And it is really uncomfortable. I think it's something that everyone says, that if you, you know, believe in something and some, you know, it could be your dad, it could be your uncle, it could be anyone makes, you know, a sexist comment at the table or a racist comment, to hold them accountable. But I think in practice it's actually so much harder kind of said than done. And while you were on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which you won, which is just, we were just so happy, so exciting.
It's so weird.
But it's amazing. And you deserved it. And it was so, so, so nice to watch you win. But on an episode, who was it?
What's Dipper.
His name? Dipper. Dipper made a comment about, or continued to make comments about what you were wearing or what you were not wearing, I suppose, and that it was inappropriate. And you called him out, which when I was watching that, I was like, oh my God, I have anxiety for her. But I'm just like, yes, like you are, like I could not have done that, because I, you know, it's uncomfortable making people feel uncomfortable, but that's how we create change. So can you talk to us about that?
Oh my God. I mean, I totally agree. It is really hard. I guess I've been really lucky in my family in that I know I talked about this last time, but my family is literally all women except for my grandpa, who passed away when I was 12. So for my adult life, it's been all women except for him and my uncle, who is I don't want to say flamboyant. I would say he's flamboyant, but like he's straight. He's just a very like, he's a dentist. He's a very soft man. He's just very much like, oh, Dad, aren't you gorgeous? Like, he's just very, like, he's not like a typical macho man at all.
Yeah.
And then my cousin, who's like younger than me. So it's, I think growing up in a family of women and men who respond to being questioned has been good for me, in that I have that environment where no one close to me has, it's ever been hard in my atmosphere to question people. Like, it's always been, you know, all women, and then obviously different generations as different things that you have to call out, like if there's a transphobic or a racial comment that you have to call out. But again, my family, that doesn't happen ever overtly. It won't ever be something completely awful. There'll be small microaggressions that are said around the table, and my sister and I will talk back, and there will be a debate, and sometimes there will be yelling. But it's like when Trump got elected, they were screaming at the table, like screaming. But it never is an intimidating thing for my sister and I to talk about those things, because since we were 12, we've been talking about political issues at dinner with our family, right? So I think I'm very lucky in that, and I understand that it's so hard for people if it is their dad or their uncle or their brother to talk back, because you have to risk that relationship. And there's also the threat of being the problematic one and being like, oh, she's so annoying. Or particularly when you're a younger woman, when you're in high school, it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a silly little girl, and being dismissed, as well as feeling like maybe you don't know, because if everyone in your family is saying this thing, you're like, well, you know, I'm seeing this thing online, or I've read this in a book, or in school we're talking about this, and I don't really know if I'm correct in how I feel. Maybe I am, like, kind of gaslighting yourself. But I think, you know, even for me, it is still hard to call out people who I don't really know that well. And Dipper was a particularly hard one, because we were all living in a reality show. And we all know my experience with reality shows hasn't been that good before Celebrity with editing. So I was so scared. The reason why I was crying so much after I confronted Dipper was because I felt like I didn't do enough, but I also was like, oh, now I'm going to be the problematic one. So it was like, it was twofold, and that I didn't feel like I'd done enough because I kind of felt like if I was going to go and do it, I should have done it full force, not half-assed. And I felt like I did it half-assed. I felt like I could have said more and I could have had a full debate, but I hadn't eaten and we hadn't slept. And I was like the way I describe it is like in celeb, it's like you have like 10 points of energy a day. And you know, four of those points are used up on just being awake. So you have like 6 points. If you have a trial, you're dead. You're gone. You have no other energy. You sleep the rest of the day. Like you'll see in the show, people are sleeping all day. People are like, why are they sleeping all the time? Because you aren't eating. Like you have no energy. So like that took up like 5 points of my energy that day. And I was like so exhausted, so upset. But that was hard for me. And it's, you know, in other experiences in my life, I've had to call people out. After The Bachelor, I came back from filming. So this is before it aired. No one even knew I was on The Bachelor. And I came back and you know, there were, as usual, as it was when I'd left, there were racist and sexist comments being said. And I just, you know, got quite angry and started crying in the office because someone was saying a racial slur in the office and no one was stopping them. And then I went to the bathroom and cried. And then I quit, I think, the next day. But in that instance, I was called, it was like, oh, Abby's being emotional again. And it's like, no, I'm actually quite upset because you're saying a racial slur loudly in an office and no one's calling you out. In fact, you're being encouraged. So it is hard. And like, I always cry when I confront people. Like, I think as well, people are always like, how do you do it? I'm like, cause I go and cry in secret. Like, I go and cry. And then I'm like, you know, when you just like, I'm not a very good, I'm a good arguer, but then once I finish arguing, then I have to go and have my little cry. And I think that's okay. It's an okay compensation. But yeah, I do understand that it's really hard. And I think the biggest thing that you can do to be able to talk to people is know the reasons why you're upset, because I think that gets people caught up a lot. And not that it's their fault, but I think people who are disagreeing with you will see that as weakness and will say, try and find loopholes. So often before I'm about to argue with someone, I'll try and preempt their rebuttal. Like I'll be like, hey, how are they going to come back with me here? Because like, and if you're not educated on it, it's actually okay to go and figure out exactly why something upset you. So for example, if you had a dipper comment, if it was from your dad, right? It's okay to go and figure out exactly why. You can do some research. You can figure it out. I'm writing a book on this, so maybe just wait until the book comes out. like, figure it out and then go back and be calm and have dot points and have you know, your sources, have everything ready to go. And while that might seem ridiculous, it seems, for me, it seems to help me a lot having a structure of what I'm going to say and knowing, as well as trying to stay calm. And if things start to get emotional for you, it's okay to walk away and come back to it. You know what I mean? I think a lot of these things end up being quite reactive. I don't know if you guys have ever like confronted someone and then you just feel like everything's spiraling out of control and you don't really know why you're saying what you're saying. You're like, I'm so frustrated. I'm trying to tell you why. Yeah. So that's kind of, I think, again, the tangent, girls. Have you ever had to like stand up to someone being?
Yeah.
Surely. Modeling, yeah, especially.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But do you think that there's also, I feel like with me, because when you just said then with when you confronted Dipper that maybe you questioned that maybe you did it like half-assed or whatever, I feel like I have a different way of approaching or confronting someone depending on who that person is. So, for example, if it's a male my age, I'm like, you should know better kind of thing. And then the way I approach someone who might be like 50, 60, I know that they've grown up, I suppose, learning different ways. And I am a little bit more sensitive. Not that I think that what they're saying is correct at all. Like no. I am definitely confronting them and disagreeing with them. But I do approach it differently, I feel, because I know for a fact that when I have like my kid, for example, there's things I'm going to say in 20 odd years that are probably inappropriate or have been found as in like, this is actually not okay and this is why. And I want to be able to be, I want to feel comfortable in someone confronting me when I say the wrong thing, if that makes sense, because it's just something, as you said earlier, Laws, like unless you've learned it, you don't know. So like, I think there is, you know, there's a way of confronting people without it being like an attack. But then again, I do get extremely frustrated when it's someone that I'm like, okay, if I'm learning all this stuff, like you should be too. Like we're both like growing up in the same era, going through the same things. Like what
How are you saying that right now?
That's so true, actually, like having different approaches. And I think I do it. I'm sure you do as well. You do it without even really thinking about it. You're like a bit more delicate, people that are older, or obviously if you work with them or if it's your dad or, but yeah, I mean, I did have an argument with someone recently about something that I didn't even want to go into, but it was basically, I felt like he wasn't supporting women, and I just kept, and he was around our age, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Like yelling. I was like, I was like, you don't fucking know. Like yelling. And he was like, don't you swear in my house. And I was like, don't be my dad. Like, so I, but then if the same thing was said by like Dipper in the camp,
yeah,
you know, it would be different. Because you're right. If someone is our age or in the same generation as us, it's like, come on. Like, yeah. How do you not realize what you're saying is, mm-hmm. That's a really good point, actually. I didn't realize I do that, but that's a very good point. Because I think with Dip, I tried to do, my usual strategy is questioning, but then with Dipper, I walked away because I was like, A, I don't want to be the villain again. B, I have no energy, I haven't eaten today. And C, like how could I change someone's mind who's been in locker rooms for how many, 40, 45 years. But I think with people our age, I think you can be a bit more, more pushy. Maybe don't scream in their faces like I do, because I get so like worked up. But that's only with my friends. If it was someone like a random guy at a bar, I think the best course of action is to just keep asking them to explain themselves, because they will explain themselves into a corner. Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
Like you're like, but why do you think that though? But what's your evidence for that though, babe? Oh my God, I feel like a fight. I'm going to go out to a bar on the weekend and find someone doing something inappropriate. Like, what are you doing to her?
I was listening, I can't remember what podcast it was recently, but they were talking about, and I thought it was a really great way to approach it, instead of calling someone out, to call them in.
Mm.
And calling in is as in, saying, oh, you can say, you know, that's not the right thing to say, but then educating them on why it's not the right thing to say. And I feel like because I am a people pleaser, so I saw what you did in the jungle and I was like, you go, girl. But I was like, I believe in what you're doing and I love it, but I would melt into my clothes and just turn, like disintegrate like a cartoon if that was me. And so that's been for me a way that I've been able to get my head around it, because I feel like I get like super and then I'll think about it for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Because anxiety, obviously.
I feel like as well, I think it also depends on the person you are. And I think you just proved that point, Laws, because.
Totally.
My dad is a very loud and opinionated person who like has his opinions and like really likes to sit with them. He's very loud. He knows he's not always right, but like sometimes I'm like, do you?
Sounds like me, babe. Yeah.
But I've definitely got that from him, as in like if I have an opinion on something, I'm pretty stubborn or I'm pretty loud about it. So I think that's also like everyone's going to confront people in different ways because of who they are as well.
Totally. Laura, how would you, if someone did something like Dipper did and you wanted to say something, how would you have approached it?
To be completely honest, if I didn't know them very well, I would struggle the most because I wouldn't be able to explain where I was coming from and know that I would then be able to check up on them to see if I'd offended them, even though that's obviously not the right way to think because they've offended, you know, a lot of people. And if we don't call things out then or call people in, we're not going to change. But I think I would have probably, I mean, it's also very different because it was on national TV.
Yeah.
So even
Let's say it's not on TV. Like, let's say it's not on TV.
You know, a million people watching.
It's at your house.
Yeah, okay. I'd pull them aside and I would speak to them. I wouldn't call them out in front of everyone. I would speak to them and say, hey, here's this resource that I read. I actually used to believe what you believe and now this has really changed my mind. And that's, I suppose, how I would approach it.
Yeah.
But I think as well it does depend on the circumstances. Mm. Like if I was confronting like Bryce from Married at First Sight, then I would be yelling
at
the table.
Much to say.
So like it really depends on the person.
Oh. Jesus Christ. And, oh my God, speaking of Bryce. Sorry, I think that's just really important because Laura, because obviously we're different, very different people conflict wise. So people listening to me, I think sometimes I get worried that people are like, well, I can't do that because I'm not like you. So I like people to hear how other kind of personality types would handle it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like my advice isn't really, it isn't really applicable to, it isn't applicable to everyone because not everyone is like me. And I think Steph, you and I might have like a similar way of confronting people, but you remind me of my one of my best friends. So it's like, I'm trying to think of what would help her listening to this, you know, or help her. But back to Bryce, whenever I watch Married at First Sight, I try to be, or Bachelor, I'm very, you know, editing, obviously, I'm like, what? But there are things that are happening. It's like body language things. It isn't like, oh, he said this one line really upset me. Or like, it's like I've watched little snippets and it's consistently pretty bad. So, yeah, Bryce, I mean, babes, good luck to you. Are they still together? I heard they're still together.
I heard that rumour too.
Did you?
Yeah, he was on the radio and he apparently confirmed it to someone on the radio that they were still together.
But isn't he a radio host anyway, so he knows what would get...
Yeah. I think he lost his job.
I would assume he would have lost his... I'm very interested that someone in the media that... Getting a job on radio is really hard. You work really hard to get a job on radio. Would then go in knowing how it can go
things can be edited,
and how things can be edited and how you can...